Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
Oh, can I talk now? Am I allowed to talk now?
I'll start this over. Ready?
No, start it over. We're good. I'm Chris. Hi, everyone. Hey, how's it going? We're some off-camera humor, even though this is a podcast and we don't have cameras.
Chris was being uncooperative.
I was not being uncooperative. I was talking to my friend. I was having fun and joking with my friend. And
I was trying.
He got
a little bit of professional decorum.
It's like, and he was like, you know, being a friend back to me. And then all of a sudden, he's just like overly professional. Switch just went off, and he's like, "Can you just work with me here?" And I thought I was, but you know, whatever.
I was working up your day. All right, wrestling.
Yes, wrestling, but. Yes, speaking of wrestling, let's talk about Alberto Del Rio and Paige. No, I'm just kidding. We're not talking about that anymore. We're done.
No, done.
We're done. We don't believe a word that comes out of either of their mouths. So we get a little bit of surprising. Obviously, it's like one of the bigger news of the week, and that's the main event from SmackDown.
Yes.
The surprise there was that there was no like weird, you know, okay. Shenanigan finish. Like Nakamura beat Cena clean.
So the surprise there was. Like you said, Nakamura beat Cena. There's been this weird kind
of
thing.
And mostly the lack of shenanigans for me.
Like. Yes. Well, so over the past 5 or 6 years or so, mm-hmm. where we've had this kind of thing, we saw it like about 2012, 13. It was when The Rock
right.
was doing Once in a Lifetime, where you're like, Cena hasn't lost clean since.
Yeah.
And, you know, different arguments because it was like Cena hasn't lost clean since Sheamus beat him at TLC for the champion the first
right.
time. And they're like, well, he wasn't pinned clean.
Right, he just got pushed through a table thing.
And so then you kind of had to work backwards further from that.
Yeah.
And then we've been doing the same thing ever since.
But since then, Cena's, you know, he's lost clean.
A handful of times.
Right, not a bunch, but still.
But then there's like, well, when's the last time Cena's lost clean not on a pay-per-view? Because Cena, first of all, Cena has, like, cannot win a SummerSlam match to save his life recently.
Right, yeah. As far as, like, just a regular TV
mm-hmm.
taping, I couldn't tell you.
Okay, so.
Let me guess, you actually did the digging?
I did some digging.
Of course you did.
So, he did lose to Dean Ambrose cleanly. Think late last year, maybe October.
Really? No.
It was like a roll-up win.
Okay.
So, and like, so it counts technically because it was a clean
sure.
1-2-3, but it wasn't like this where it's like Nakamura beat him.
Right.
Nakamura out-wrestled him, 1-2-3 pin, success, victory, hand raise.
Right.
It was a scramble thing. That is the only time I could find that he lost clean on SmackDown. In the past 10 years.
Okay.
He's had a handful of Raw losses. One against Triple H.
Yeah.
One arguably against Big Show.
Didn't he lose clean to Tensai?
No, he lost clean to Tensai. He did lose clean, but there was a mist thing. Yeah, the mist thing got involved.
Okay.
Which I wasn't counting.
Okay, fair enough.
He lost clean to Big Show.
I just wanted to bring that up just quickly,
once,
so you all remember that.
Well, okay. He lost clean to Kali.
Yeah.
On Saturday Night Main Event, which I've marked initially as he lost on Main Event. He's the biggest jobber in the world.
Right.
And I had to do research. Saturday Night Main Event was kind of like the network exclusive before they had networks.
Right.
It was like this middle ground between TV and
right.
Pay-per-view. And that was back when Kali beat Cena clean and beat Undertaker clean
right.
in the span of like 2 or 3 months.
When they were still in the process of building him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lost clean once to Triple H on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Lost clean once to Big Show on Raw. But the whole angle there was he had injured his back. So he was coming into the match injured.
Sure. Right.
So, like, he did lose clean, but there's a little bit
There's a little bit of a, you know, like a, there was a reason for it. Kind
yeah,
of
like, if depending on how you want to argue the word shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Other than those, the last time he's lost clean was against Shawn Michaels in 2007, the match that brought you back.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, in your time.
It was in London, wasn't it?
I don't remember where it was.
But it was one that like it like was, it's it was a like an entire long
fabled match. Yeah. It's like a 3-commercial break, close like to an hour long match.
Yeah.
Between these two guys, where Shawn Michaels ended up going over clean.
It was right after WrestleMania 23.
It was 2007.
Yeah.
So in your time watching WWE.
Holy God, that's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that feels, because I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I don't like this game. Let's play a new game. Nakamura, this is the new number one.
The point is, Cena
moving on.
Has lost arguably 5 times.
Right.
In that time period.
That I still don't like that.
The other cool way to look at this is, as far as I can find, and this includes pay-per-view matches, Dean Ambrose is the only member of the Shield to have pinned Cena cleanly. Rollins did it.
Right, Rollins,
the assistance of John Stewart.
Right,
and I don't think Roman ever did.
Not even well,
not in a one-on-one
match.
Not
in a one-on-one, because they haven't really had a one-on-one match.
No.
Huh. Interesting.
So Dean Ambrose is the only one. It is cool, though, when you
that's
go
not
down.
Saying much. CM Punk beat all 3 of them at once.
Yes, he did. But Roman looks strong in that match,
but
man.
Roman looks strong. Son of a... Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway from this match, though, is the card. Like when they're like, up next, this match.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of John Cena, and it was a picture of Nakamura, and at the bottom it was like stipulation: winner will face Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. And I was like,
"It's a bizarre."
It feels like WWE 2K16 randomizer.
Oh sure,
like just threw that up there. And you're like, "What is this?"
Right. If like if you ran universe mode, like if you just you know simulated it for like 3-4 years, and then you just pop that up, and you're like, "What?" Yeah. The fact that Jinder Mahal, like, they're fighting each other. A, like, Nakamura and Cena are in the same ring, period. But they're fighting for a chance to go against the champion, Jinder Mahal.
At SummerSlam.
Right, yeah.
Because it's every word makes it feel more unbelievable. Because
right,
you're like, okay, I could see Jinder Mahal getting a weird one-month run on the Battleground month.
Right, but the fact that he's champion going into SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
So you have John Cena, huge star, Nakamura, a huge star that we never, for a long time, never thought would ever come to WWE.
Yep.
And they're facing off on a random episode of SmackDown. Mm. Yeah. It's just you're right, every single word, it just makes it that much more unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the SummerSlam card's starting to take shape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about the 2 championship matches, you know.
I am as well.
Because we were talking about how, like, you know, the Nakamura-Jinder match is probably going to be a little ho-hum. But I think it might be better than we might be expecting. Because we're used to, like, because the only time we actually have, you know, really looked at Jinder Mahal is during this feud that he or him being in the main event. He's been in the main event only against Randy. And we've been so bored with Randy for the past 5 years.
Randy Orton lives in this weird anomaly where he is somehow simultaneously the most underrated, underutilized, talented superstar on the roster and the most likely to phone it in.
Sure. Yeah.
On a match.
Yeah. He's both at the same time.
So
somehow.
He's somehow one of the things I'm most excited and least excited to see at the same time. And like, I'll flip, not even in a match, like in his walk down to the ring, I'll be like, oh boy, never mind.
Like anytime there's rumor, like anytime he ends a feud and there's rumor that he's going to be leaving for a while, I'm excited for it because like, oh, that means he'll come back, you know, recharged and maybe he'll give a crap once, you know? And that's how I felt, you know, until this SmackDown happened, and he's going to be going up against... All right, who did he come up against?
He's going up against Rusev.
Rusev, right. So I'm just like, oh great.
Well,
so Rusev's going to lose to him now. Okay.
So when SmackDown... I don't know if you saw this. When SmackDown was airing, that segment happened. He came out to challenge Rusev.
Yeah.
WWE Creative-ish, the parody wrestling...
Yeah.
They tweeted out... Randy Orton says, yeah, I'll face you in a match as long as it's not a Punjabi prison or a House of Horrors or a flag match, just a straight up and down match. And Randy Orton retweeted it.
Yeah. Actually, he retweeted another one today when it was just like the new Brock Lesnar shirt, like eat, sleep, use UFC as a bargaining chip to mm-hmm. get a bit better contract, repeat. And, you know, I think he also like added like and added a comment where he's like, now that's pretty damn funny, you know.
So part of it is totally 100% funny. But
he probably knows the guy because it's a former WWE writer that runs the account. So,
but I do genuinely believe Randy Orton is probably not pleased with his past several runs.
Well, they're making him do all these outside of the box matches,
mm-hmm.
and he probably just wants to do a boring match. But the thing is, we don't like Randy in his comfort zone.
I don't like uninvested Randy.
True. Yeah.
Like I feel like even as tired as I was of Randy versus Cena 8011,
mm-hmm.
like I feel like that unification match, Randy was going for it.
Sure.
Randy had some semblance of like, this is an important moment.
Mm.
These are two parallel history titles that we are unifying here. Mm. It is me versus John Cena, which, yeah, is way overdone, but it like has historical significance, mm-hmm. long running history. And so he just hasn't felt invested in forever.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can add all the stipulations you want. You're not going to get him invested in it. Matter of fact, you might make it worse. But even if it's a regular match against somebody that he likes to work with, he's still going to come across uninvested. And I mean, I don't care how good you are, the audience can tell.
Yeah.
You know? And so.
So I don't know what it will take to get him invested. Right. I don't know what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my point that I was making with General Hall. We've only seen him work these last few months with a, you know, uninvested Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't know what he can do with someone who actually gives a crap in the ring.
I think there is some argument to the idea of Jinder Mahal is underrated. We haven't seen what he can do yet. Because of that. My biggest issue with him, though, is not in the ring, though, because he has not been a problem for me in the ring. He's not
Mm-mm.
pulled out of the stops or, like, new favorite to watch for.
He hasn't, like...
But he hasn't embarrassed himself. He's had some good back and forth.
Right.
And actually, because we talked about it previous week with the prison match, there was, for the first couple of rounds with him and Randy,
mm-hmm.
it felt like he was just kind of taking the brunt of it and then getting out with like a sneaky win.
Mm-hmm.
But with the prison match, there were several extended moments where I was like, oh, this is a back and forth match.
Right.
He's given as good as he gets. I can see a lot, which is why it was a bummer. When I was like, oh, now, because I knew the guys were coming in.
Right.
Like, nobody surprised, but it's like, I was more bummed this time because
he needed two extra people. I'm counting the Singh brothers as one person. Then. Kali. Well, 2.5.
Because Kali's 1.5.
Kali's 1.5.
But like, I was disappointed because for the first time, like, oh, Jinder's doing something in the ring. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see it. I don't think, and again, it might be an amount of like the wrestler's actual investment in the character, but I don't think he likes this. You hate me because I'm different.
Right.
Really paint by the numbers, you know, yay home country, boo America character. Right.
Which means, like, they're going to have to change that up a little bit.
Totally
because
won't
he's,
work now.
You know, going up against a Japanese superstar. Like, I might still bring it up just to make sure he gets boos, but you're going to have to change it up a little bit because, you know, that doesn't really apply to this feud right now.
I think, because you take somebody like Rusev, and Rusev took basically the same character
mm-hmm.
with such gusto that it worked.
Yeah, now Rusev kind of, he went all in.
Mm-hmm.
Jinder Mahal, like, that's been his entire WWE career is kind of doing that character. There was, like, a brief time where he was, like, you know, when he first came back after the draft, after the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was this point where he was trying to change it up a little bit.
Well...
But then, of course, when he got that main event push, he went right back to it.
That wasn't his character in 3MB.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right. But then again, he also didn't get a microphone in 3MB.
No, but he was pretty charming in 3MB. Like, it wasn't Heath Slater being charming in two other bodies. All three of them were entertaining to watch in 3MB.
Yeah.
So he has charm and charisma that is not there when he's doing "You Hate Me Because I'm Different" promos.
Yeah. God, who would have thought out of out of Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal, and Heath Slater? Heath Slater would have been the weak link, like, what, 3 years later?
Yep.
Man. He's got and kids.
The weak link has, like, he
had a good year. Yeah. Like, up until, like, recently when they, you know, drafted him to Raw and just haven't done anything with him or Rhino. Freaking Rhino. They haven't done anything with Rhino? Come on. But, whatever.
That's additional issues with the draft concept.
Well, and the fact that they moved them, like, they took something that worked on SmackDown and then took it from them, put it on Raw to collect dust.
Yeah.
You know, right next to, well, Finn Balor for a while. So I think the WWE Championship match is going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be better than what some people are going to are giving it credit for. Because a lot of people are like, oh, it's going to, you know, it's not going to be great because of gender, you know, but Nakamura is going to do his best to make it serviceable. I think it might be a little bit better than what people were, because I think Jinder Mahal is better than,
if there is
probably better than what we've seen because of Randy.
It will come down to the amount of time that they're given.
Right.
And
absolutely, yeah.
How much interference will be scripted from backstage? How much interference will be required? Because I am assuming there will be interference in this match.
Well, with the Singh brothers and maybe, Kali, they moved him back.
Yeah, like
they moved him back to
Alumni. I'm not even saying maybe Kali, but I'm assuming with the Singh brothers,
right,
there will be some amount of interference.
Because originally I was like, oh, well, Baron Corbin's going to clearly. Well, first I thought Baron Corbin was going to interfere with this match. Then turns out after the cameras went off, he, you know, him and Cena went into it. So it's probably going to, Cena and Corbin are probably going to fight at SummerSlam. But then, you know, the question is like, oh, well, clearly Corbin is going to have some sort of hand in the finish of this, but you don't even need it because you already have the Singh brothers.
Right.
You know, adding Corbin in the mix would absolutely feel like overkill, like, you know, throwing in Great Khali, you know, to the prison match.
But if they're given enough time and if they're given enough freedom, I do think this match and these two guys have something to prove.
Right, yeah.
I
Nakamura is trying to solidify himself or find himself within the WWE main event or main roster.
Yeah.
And Jinder, you know, it's his first step away from, you know, what really, you know, kind of, you know, lit a fire behind his character, behind him, you know.
And this is, and I've not done the research on this, but, like, when's the last time the champion and the number one contender were both from Asia? Because my guess is never.
I don't feel comfortable saying never, but I can't tell you.
I mean,
and granted, one's from Canada still. I'm still reminding everyone, Jinder is from Canada, but character-wise, yes.
Yes.
That I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Speaking of, I have bad news for you, Joel.
Okay.
I've already told you, but I haven't said it on the podcast. Guys, everyone listening to this, I want you all to make sure you're sitting down. If you're listening to this
I'm
while you're...
I'm surprised you didn't open the podcast.
I know, I didn't think about it until just now, and I apologize. If you're driving right now, I need you to pull over to the side of the road so you're not a danger to yourself or anyone around you. Guys, WWE has released Superstar Ho Ho Loon. I know. I know. Everyone just kind of take a breath, kind of like gestate that news. I know how much everyone adored his goofy faces that he made after every single move in the three matches that I saw of him.
It's like, you don't know.
I got a pretty good idea, I felt. So, yeah, moving on.
Honestly, it's only sad because he represented a country that's not otherwise represented.
Well, I mean, he helped bring in a wave of Chinese superstars who are, you know, still at the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, he's a veteran of Chinese wrestling. I think he's in his 30s, I want to say.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So, really, he was more of a less... I've just judging from, you know, from where I was sitting, it felt like he was more of a guy that they brought in to kind of help all the other signees feel more comfortable there.
Yeah.
I think they're established, so they're like, okay, well, you know, we don't want to take up any more of your time, Ho-Ho, because I believe Ho-Ho, like,
he runs a
Chinese promotion.
Yeah.
So they're probably, like, letting him get back to concentrating on that now that they've, you know, solidified a Chinese presence in the Performance Center.
Okay.
So, there you go. There's my serious answer about Ho-Ho Loon. Fine. I acknowledge that he had some merit and some purpose in WWE for a little while. Fine.
Moving on.
Yes.
The main thing that I want to address tonight.
You're going to say something else goofy, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm actually not.
Okay.
So, Meltzer, on his podcast earlier this week, was talking about cutbacks that the WWE is making. This is basically a continuation of
the Talking
Smack. What was initially the fact that Talking Smack
was
cut supposedly for ratings issues.
Right.
So
same being for like Unfiltered with Renee Young.
Right. Basically saying WWE is concerned about finances, and these are the numbers pulled from wherever he got his numbers.
Right.
Saying that there was a prediction for 2017 to outpace 2016 in profits.
Well, that's what was announced. Mm-hmm. Right. WWE was kind of like, sorry for the pun, touting, you know, that they were going to make double of what their profits was last year. And I think last year their profits were $17 million, I think.
I got $30 million.
I think 30 is what they were projecting, when they doubled, around 30. And I believe now, over halfway through the year, I think they're at 7 or 8 million profits. Yeah, which, again, you know, boo-hoo that company for making, they're only making $8 million.
Yeah. But
still, when you're a billion-dollar company, that's not much.
Right. And when you're, if nothing else, you're over halfway through the year and nowhere close to even halfway to your goal.
Mm-hmm.
So there are cutbacks, and so this is the reason behind no fireworks, right. No pyro, mass cancellation across the network.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a commentary on quality of stuff, but Holy Foley's gone.
Right.
Edge and Christian's Show of Awesomeness is gone. Just kind of stuff. And there's been no announcement of second seasons or more things of Can't WWE or Story Time or basically anything that's not.
And I don't know, because, you know, it's been said, I think, on that same podcast of, you know, the subscription numbers are discouraging for WWE. It's not nowhere near where they thought they would be at this point. It's still nothing to, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of, but it's not anywhere near the lofty goals they set for this. And I don't understand how they think they're going to fix those numbers by cutting like every original programming, every non ring action, you know, original material that they've got on the network, at least new stuff, at least.
So I want to break some of this down.
Mm-hmm.
One, I don't know what their goals for subscription numbers are.
Right.
And I don't know what they're comparing it to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not the biggest subscription service out there.
Sure.
Nor should they be trying to be.
No.
I hope, I don't think this is true, but it's a crazy enough world right now that mm-hmm. this could be true, that they could be looking at Netflix numbers and being like, we're not making it. We need to be making changes.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a thought process that Vince has had.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't know what that is. And then we're going into if we're focusing on the network specifically. And so there was some discussion about how clearly the two pay-per-views a month is not working, not pulling in
the numbers that they
expected, the numbers that they wanted.
Yeah.
And there is no plans to stop
right
the two pay-per-views.
Right. But that feels more, I don't want to say like the pay-per-views necessarily feel like a necessity, but the brand split feels like it's a necessity just because of the massive roster that they have.
Right. Now, part of that issue is I don't think anybody watching or listening here can disagree that some of the people they are hiring, some of the wrestlers they are bringing in, is done with the intention of keeping them from other sure. companies, is making sure you have all the toys should you ever want to play with them.
Right. I mean, you know, the last 2 weeks on NXT are a good example of, you know, you got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, you know, debuting on in subsequent episodes, and both of them, I believe, losing to Aleister Black. And it's one of those things where it's like, do they really even need those guys? Like, I'm all for it. Like, I'm you know, I'm not huge on Kyle O'Reilly, but I love Bobby Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad to see them here, but I'm like, I also like, there's a lot, like, NXT seems kind of crowded right now, you yeah. know? Like, it doesn't seem like
there's no room on any of the main shows for them to
right.
go to.
Like, it's the same kind of feeling we felt for a while with Roderick Strong. He's just kind of, like, he was in the main event to kind of, like, carry NXT a few weeks. And then now, I don't think he even has a takeover match.
Yeah.
You know? But yet, he's still in the main event scene somehow. Like, it's weird...
And there's a lot to be said for the fact that at one point, we were watching Wrestle Kingdom. We were watching something like, wouldn't it be great if that guy, looking
right.
at AJ and looking at
Now, I will say this. Now, if Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, like, reform Red Dragon, their mm-hmm. tag team in NXT, 100% for it, because their tag team division needs some depth right
but
now.
But, like, I'm sitting here watching WWE now, and I was saying, like, God, wouldn't it be great if, like, Finn Balor went back to New Japan and I could see, like...
Oh, sure, right. Like, yeah.
And so, like, I can feel this switch starting to happen, mm-hmm. and it's... We're getting real close to beating a dead horse with the whole, is WWE not watching the final days of WCW because they are following in the footsteps?
I mean, if they want to look at their profits and their lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but maybe you look at some of these talent grabs they're making. You know, maybe that has a lot to do with their profits not being where they should be.
I don't know how much they're paying these guys
right, sure.
to not be on TV.
Right.
Absolutely. 100%. I don't know. And
I mean, you think NXT's crowded now. Adam Cole hasn't even started yet. And,
yeah.
you know, he's long been rumored to be part of NXT.
Part of what I love about NXT is I'm seeing new guys all, and that's because I'm seeing one show spaced out over 3 weeks, basically.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like part of the issue with Raw is I don't have time to see these cool, interesting guys mm-hmm. because I have to see Roman for 25, 35, mm-hmm. 45 minutes every
it's
single
the,
week.
It's the reason Finn Balor has been treading water since he
yeah.
came back after WrestleMania.
And then that's not a specific Roman bash. I am having to see Samoa Joe for 25, 35 minutes
sure.
every week. Which, again, I love Samoa Joe, but having to see the same guy take up such a huge chunk of time means there's no room
for these other guys who are, you know, borderline main event, mid-carder talent that is just aren't getting on the show just because there isn't time
mm-hmm.
somehow in a 3-hour freaking show. Yeah, absolutely.
And so we then get to the point we talked about cutting all of this non-original, not non-in-ring original content.
Yeah.
So I subscribe to HBO Now, which mm-hmm. is HBO Go if you don't have HBO.
Yeah. The, like, internet-based subscription
yes.
service if you don't have the
cable package.
Yeah.
But you can still want HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I signed on for HBO with the express purpose of watching Game of Thrones.
Right.
Like tons of people have.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch an episode of anything, you start an episode on HBO, the first thing that it'll show is a commercial for something else on HBO.
Right.
And it is something that's coming up. And there is always something that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have now had what was supposed to be a 6-week subscription for over a year.
Right.
Because I've gone, ooh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's been, like, just this past year, it's been The Young Pope, it's been Big Little Lies, it's been Silicon Valley's back, it's been Ballers is back. It's like, just, there is constant.
Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, Game of Thrones was gone longer this time. Yeah.
But having that, Netflix does the exact same thing.
Right.
I can't.
Constant reminder of something new is coming up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I was the same way with Amazon Prime. I got it just because of the Grand Tour,
mm-hmm.
you know? Right, that's what it was called,
yeah,
right?
Grand Tour.
Yeah, I got it before Grand Tour because it was the only way I was going to see these guys. And next thing you know, I was like, oh, All or Nothing. I remember that was a good documentary. Oh, season two is coming, you know? And so I got through all that and it's like, oh, well, I also do like that free 2-day shipping. So, you know, I just hung on to it because of that, yeah.
And so there's nothing like that.
If they can give me free 2-day shipping for WWE Shop, that would be golden because they charge way too much for shipping.
They do charge nonsense for shipping.
Sorry, that was a random side.
But there's nothing with the network. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting, ooh, this thing. Oh, that's upcoming. Oh, I need to make. And like.
Actually, that's not bad. If they do free, like, some sort of free mm-hmm. shipping deal, that would be kind of worth it. Sorry.
It would be.
But like that. Doing something outside of what they're doing now.
And I feel
and
like...
not canceling original content.
Well, I feel like they think that the pay-per-views, the constant pay-per-views addresses that is, oh, I need to hang on to this because the next pay-per-view mm-hmm. is in 2 weeks.
Right.
So it just holds on for that. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are 5 pay-per-views in the year that I'm excited about. Due to sheer concept.
Yeah.
And they are WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Money in the Bank.
Right.
The big 4+1, mm-hmm. however you want to categorize
however you want to categorize Survivor Series.
Or Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is not one of the original big four.
Yeah, it is now.
But you're buffing Survivor Series.
Survivor Series has kind of become the redhead stepchild.
Well, and
Unless they keep the whole SmackDown versus Raw theme going, because then it's interesting.
Because then you have a standard what you do with the Survivor Series matchup,
right? And it's not in a goofy package like bragging rights.
But part of that issue is there's no weight to that. It's still just a bragging rights match,
right?
Which the Royal Rumble and the Money in the Bank have weight to them, have like the winner of this gets
sure.
this thing. There is investment in here. But that's not the case for Battleground. That's not the case for Extreme Rules. That's not the case for Roadblock.
God, no. Yeah.
Or even the gimmick ones.
Not even Roadblock in the end of the line.
Even the gimmick ones.
Love my
like
own freaking joke.
Hell in a Cell and TLC. I know what the gimmick is.
Right.
But I'm not.
But there's not. There doesn't seem to be as much at stake.
Right.
You know.
The thing that I feel like you should know, I feel like is very common standard knowledge, the thing that is exciting about I Want to See That is whatever storyline you have built up, whatever characters you have put together,
mm-hmm.
they're in that match on that show. And I don't get a lot of that in your previews.
Yeah.
When the Hell in a Cell happens, it's not this guy's mad at that guy. And they're so mad mm-hmm. that we have to contain this in a cell. It's, the cell is dangerous.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, it's not. Mm-hmm. it's a cage match with a lid on it.
Yeah.
We all know this.
Right, yeah.
And so you're not pitching what could keep me subscribed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. And I feel like that is. And that the brand split should be helping that.
Yeah.
I should be watching, and there's a little bit of it. I should be watching the Raw pay-per-view, and it comes on, and it's like, ah, but on SmackDown, AJ's doing this,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens is doing that. What'll happen? Tune in. But it's not happening like that.
Right.
And part of that is the... So one of the amazing things that NXT is doing, and I don't think this is intentional. I think this is a result of the three week of one taping.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the fact that takeovers, there's like 6 takeovers a year instead of
like
one every month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So on that show, there are feuds that start, rise, climax, fall, conclude all on the show.
Right.
Never get a takedown or takeover
right.
moment.
Right.
Which is fine. It still builds the wrestler.
Yeah, because you got to fill those weeks.
Right. You know. The builds the wrestler. Mm-hmm. It shows what they can do. Mm-hmm. It creates a feud. It creates investment. Yeah. It does everything that a storyline should do. Mm-hmm. It just never ends in a takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Every match that's worth anything
mm-hmm.
Ends on a pay-per-view.
Right.
In WWE. In Raw, on SmackDown.
Yeah.
There are so many. They have 12 each. If it is worth anything, it's a pay-per-view match.
Right.
And so, because of that, the pay-per-views aren't special anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They are, it's gotten to the point where when you groan when you see, like, oh, they're going to do a promo on a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling the exact opposite way watching the show.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, it's the promo, so I can see the plot move forward, but oh, they're gonna wrestle now on this wrestling show?
Right, yeah. Because it almost feels like you're wasting
okay,
time.
Okay, yeah.
Because you know that it's not really going to mean, unless it's for like a number one contendership or something, the match isn't really going to mean anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of that issue is you have smarter fans now than you did.
Yeah.
You just...
We all know that there's, you know... If it's a main title, it's not going to change hands.
Well, and it's
on the show.
It's not even like people are smarter now than they used to be. People are wiser. It's just the internet works, and I go on to internet things,
and we know how much WWE is a creature of habit.
Well, yeah, and well, there's stuff like somebody's going to post something like, "Hey, I've got tickets to see Chris Jericho's band play." You know, da da. I'm like. That means he has a title. He's got to drop it by then.
Sure.
I don't follow
Fozzy.
I don't.
And why? So, and why would you?
And so I would, if it wasn't for the internet, if it wasn't for any sort of wrestling blog, mm-hmm. I would never know that. I would be like,
oh, sure.
Chris Jericho is here. He is dedicated. He is hardworking. He has earned that title. Shocker of shockers, he lost that.
Right.
I did not see that coming because I have no idea that he has... concert dates
sure.
for the next 2 months. So I'm getting this information, and that's coming from everywhere. Everybody knows about Brock Lesnar's contract now. It's not just the UFC crossover fans. You have, you know, people during Attitude Era who had mm-hmm. no idea what UFC was doing, and so there was no knowledge of that.
Right,
and there was no real way to distribute your unique piece of knowledge to wrestling masses
right.
and get it back. And so we know more what's happening than we did. We are smarter fans about the product. And part of that is you let your guard down, you drop
mm-hmm.
some of this. People can speak more freely about stuff. Which I think is great, has a lot of potential for new great things, but at the end of the day, that means that when, like, even the very first Stone Cold podcast, Stone Cold Vince McMahon, and Stone Cold said, this match was a da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he went through, like, the 8 to 12 points of a, mm-hmm. you know, hotspot, da-da-da-da-da, baby pop, da-da-da. And so it's like, oh, that's a match. Every match is this.
Right.
I've yeah. watched the same match 600 times.
He just rolled out that formula. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, the glass shatters at that moment.
And then, you know, yeah.
And so when I talk about this and what you do about it, I come back to, and like, this is my ultimate broken record moment,
mm-hmm.
but I come back to CM Punk and the pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back to, he took a storyline that was existing inside WWE kayfabe and outside.
Yeah.
We knew his contract was up.
Yeah.
And that was not a deterrent for that storyline because of what we knew.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up helping that storyline, ended up making it more real, more compelling, because it was used in the story.
Yeah.
And he used it in that promo and in those weeks following. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it builds into this you know, this is what I need to see, and building into that Money in the Bank. That is a moment that where the TV show works into the pay-per-view.
Right.
I've said it a couple of times on the podcast in the past. I've talked about the importance of watching live, the struggle of watching it live, where having to make sure I sit and watch it live and don't get spoiled and stuff, but that constantly combats, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And if I don't have to, that's great.
Yeah.
But you need me to watch that live.
Right.
Because if I don't watch it live, I tend not to watch it at all.
Sure.
Which we, for the years that Raw was live and SmackDown wasn't, that's what we did. I don't watch SmackDown.
Well, yeah, because
somebody let me know on Wednesday if anything important happened on SmackDown on Tuesday, and I can watch this.
That's why a lot of us, you know, mentally tune out anytime they do an overseas Raw,
mm-hmm.
because it's always going to be even if it's like a matter of a few hours,
right.
being pre-taped, it's still pre-taped, so we know that there's not going to be really any story advancement of note,
right?
So what's the point, you know?
And so we get, but when you don't do shocking things,
mm-hmm.
The same thing happens.
Do you think that's kind of why they're like, it was mentioned this week on Raw where Lesnar's like, if he doesn't have the title, he's gone from WWE. Do you think they're trying to bring that in a little bit, even though we already know what the plan's going to be?
Maybe.
So it's not really all that shocking, because we know he's going to, if he does leave after SummerSlam, we know he's going to be back for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's when, like, the day after is always when his contract ends.
Yeah. We're in a weird thing, and again, not to just be like, pipe bomb, Summer of Punk, do that.
Right.
But the match, with like the second Punk was talking, mm-hmm. halfway through that pipe bomb, I mean, you couldn't know because you were probably just enraptured and went,
right.
Like, let's say the second that happened, and I'll even go so far as to say the second you started to be aware that that was planned to some degree,
because mm-hmm.
your first initial reaction was on some level of like, he went 100% off book.
Sure.
He's fired. That's the end. That was amazing. But that's the end. But once you're like, oh, this is to some level a storyline,
mm-hmm.
you know immediately Cena versus Punk at Money in the Bank.
Right.
But because of the structure, that's not like, well, I'm good till July 17th.
Right.
I don't need to watch Raw because I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
As soon as...
The only shocking thing that would probably happen at this point is if Punk came back.
But that's bad.
Well, sure. Right. Yeah, yeah. You should be able to pull off... good ratings grab with the talent you've currently got.
I used to say you need 4 shocking things a year
mm-hmm.
to keep me watching in case.
Tentpole moments, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've said both of these stories on here before, but if you'll let me just reiterate.
I'll allow it.
I've talked about the first time I was about to take a break. We were in college. I was watching over the summer. It was a 3-hour Raw back when there mm-hmm. were two. It was a 3-hour. I was like, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm gonna cool it for the summer. And I'll watch it back with Chris. Mm-hmm. And that was the episode.
Nexus
debut. Yeah. And I was like, nope, back on board. Let's go.
Right.
With the CM Punk, with the pipe bomb, I was watching that night. It's like 10:15, 10:20. Yep. I was like, I'm sleepy.
It was another 3-hour show. Yeah.
I was like, I'm sleepy. Whatever.
Back when Raw was normally 2 yeah. hours, yeah.
And so, like, to this day, I'm like, I missed the pipe bomb yeah. live. I can't. Like, I woke up and watched it the next day.
And I was staying in your house and sleeping in your room.
To be fair, that wasn't the house I was in at the time.
Well, sure. Like, you got. It was right when Sam and everybody moved yeah, out.
I didn't tell you, like, hey, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. But I watched it, so I still got the shock, and I didn't like go to the internet. It's like, I can't believe what Punk said. I still got the surprise that this was happening.
Right.
But I didn't live.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can bet I watched every show live
right
for months after that, because I was not going to risk
sure.
missing the next thing. And that's tapered off. I mean, it's been 5 years since the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
So that's obviously tapered off by now.
11. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while.
We're old. So does that mean like the supposed like shocking thing from this summer was Enzo and Cass breaking up?
I don't know. Like,
or was
I
it supposed to be the Jason Jordan reveal? I'm leaning more towards Enzo and Cass.
Can you pick something like those two things? That was 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
Can you pick anything that's come close to either one of those?
I mean, nothing that jumps out at me, and that's the point. You know, not something that stands out in your mind. You're like, yes, absolutely. I guess you could technically say Shield breakup, even though it was like more like end of spring. I think it was around, like, cause usually they like to do it around summer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say the Shield breakup.
Yeah, I can give you the Shield breakup. Because, I mean, there's that thing where, like, Raw goes off the air, and you're like, I need it to be next Monday right now.
I mean, the only other thing I can think of is, you know, Jinder Mahal winning the WWE Championship.
Which is like, there's a difference between a surprise and a shock.
Right.
And that was a surprise, to be sure.
Sure.
But like, that shock that I can't, what did I just watch?
Right.
What, like, and I think part of that is, again, we've talked about Vince McMahon loves moments. It's all about moments.
Yeah.
But moments exist due to buildups. Mm-hmm. So you talk about things like Enzo and Big Cass breaking up is a moment, that shocking moment, mm-hmm. when, you know, when Cass betrays him. But the buildup isn't even close to having been there.
Right.
And
plus, the one of the reasons why these moments are so they grab our attention, is because there was no buildup. It just happened, you know?
Well, no, I don't think that's the case. I think NXT, like, if you recall, when NXT happened, like, when initially they were ending ECW for this.
Well, yeah.
This was the third brand on the level of the first two.
Right.
These are the guys. It was a huge, quote-unquote, deal.
Right.
You know, and they were, the NXT stuff was everywhere in Raw. It was the way 205 Live is now.
It's just weird that they started NXT as just for like a storyline gimmick, mm-hmm. you know? And then, you know, obviously they didn't have really a plan beyond that. But the fact that they did all of that just for this one storyline that they would eventually get to.
But, I mean, these guys were on the show all the time.
Yeah.
David Otunga guest hosted back when it was celebrity guest host.
Yeah.
It was one of the weeks, like the winner of this week's challenge.
He shaved the Raw logo on the side of his head. I remember that.
So I never watched that. I watched one. I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
But after that, I did not watch NXT. But I knew who all those guys were, mm-hmm. because it had been ingrained. And so when they all came out and were like, we're a faction now.
Well, yeah.
That was shocking. The CM Punk thing was not as intentional, not as built.
Yeah, I mean, there was a brief mention the night before, because the night before was a week before was the capital punishment. He had said something of like, you know, if when I win, I'm gonna have something shocking to say. And then the next week was when he did the Snow Angels saying that his, you know, his contract's up and he wants John Cena. I'm the only guy that's won a match that can mm-hmm. be the number one contender kind of thing. And then they put him in another match later that night, won. He won, and that's when he announced that his contract is up, and he's going to leave with the championship. That's what he said. It was after
he
that
didn't
match.
Win that. He interfered with the R-Truth.
Hmm?
Didn't he?
No. This was the week before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because he won that main event, and he was officially named the number one contender. And then he got on mic, and he was like, here's some of that brutal honesty that, you know, I've been known for. July 17th,
yep.
whenever, you know, my contract ends, I'm going to leave with the championship, you know. And then it was the next week when he did the pipe bomb. So he was already established in the feud, and then that was just the next thing.
But that pipe bomb was a build-up, not just of, like, the handful of weeks of CM Punk,
yeah.
but of, and obviously this was not like, we'll do this for years, but this start-stop momentum of CM Punk and of CM Punk's career.
Right.
This constantly like brushing the glass ceiling and then getting in a feud with Big Show, in this frustration. And again, part of what works so well is the leaning heavily on the fourth wall.
Yeah.
You'll remember, like, weeks after that, we were sitting there being like, it was attitude, it was ruthless aggression, we're in the reality era now.
Right.
I guess we're still in the reality era, but they're doing it wrong.
Right.
They're not, I mean, because they are...
The alternate reality era.
Well, we're...
Alt history kind of thing.
Fighting, there's this weird, like, fight against knowing insider information.
Right.
And then just not even caring and just letting it all spill out.
Yeah.
And there's all these things like breaking ground, which is simultaneously awesome.
Yeah.
That there's this overflow of insider content for us to see. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, nothing's done with that.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I feel like, again, CM Punk, and not just the pipe bomb, but you watch the 2 years after that, that he was still there, and he is conducting this masterclass of storytelling through the fourth wall.
Right.
And it's not 100% in kayfabe, and it's not 100% here it is.
Yeah.
But again, just pokes and prods and gentle nudges of mentioning these things in past, letting just a little bit of, you know, whatever that frustration is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can point to moments like the first time he teamed up with Paul Heyman in Chicago at the end of that episode. Just a brush of leaning against that history. You talk about the after the pipe bomb, it's your arms are too short to box with God.
Yeah.
As his ultimate thing. And you want, and that's not just a good promo, but that promo is designed to strategically and intentionally break apart and break down The Rock's promoing style.
Right.
It calls attention to the catchphrase bingo, basically. Right. It calls attention to the paint by numbers that The Rock has been spewing. It cuts that apart. It is a promo not just to put over CM Punk, but is a promo designed to surgically tear apart and reveal to you
It's almost
how,
like,
promoing works, and specifically how The Rock's brand of promoing works.
It was taking Rock off the pedestal and essentially putting them on level playing ground.
Yeah,
essentially in the fans' eyes. Yeah,
he did so much work to walk that line, to balance these two impossible things. And since then, it has just been the Hulk smash version of attempting that.
Right.
And again, I don't want to say carbon copy this, because Punk is 1 in a million, and I didn't mean to turn this into let's wax lyrical about Punk episode 216.
Right.
But, and there are other ways to do it.
Sure.
And
there's ways
Daniel Bryan is doing it his own way.
Right.
That was part of what made Talking Smack work so well, is it had this delicate balance that, and again, was not perfect. They tipped too far one way or the other fairly often.
Right.
But there was this balance, and there was this, there was this peek behind the curtain. There was this lean against the wall. There was this fourth wall awareness, if not necessarily destruction.
Yeah.
That made the characters feel more real, more whole, made us more invested in what's going on.
Made the characters more well-rounded.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you even the stuff like when he's doing the, you know, Chad Gable, I'm your father thing.
Yeah.
It is on one level just a goofy nonsense. It is on the other, you know, there is clearly some level of Daniel Bryan's opinion on the structure of this story.
Right, of what Raw's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, granted, it probably didn't help that, you know, weeks and about a month prior, you know, there was a lot, that was at least one let's make fun of the Great Balls of Fire name.
Yeah.
Reference.
And like this thing, I don't know if Daniel Bryan thinks that a son reveal is a stupid concept. I don't know if Daniel Bryan thinks that's fine, mm-hmm. but breaking up one of your premier tag teams to do it is a stupid concept. I don't know if he thinks that taking away SmackDown people to give it to Raw is a stupid concept, but he thinks something stupid about it.
Right, sure, yeah. And I'll be honest, he's not, if that's the case, he's not entirely wrong.
No. But I say all of that to say what Talking Smack did, why Talking Smack was one of your highest rated things, was the character development was working there.
Yeah.
Talking Smack has been gone 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I am already becoming more interested in Raw than SmackDown. And that's not because Raw's going up.
Right.
It is. SmackDown has had a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think SmackDown has, in some cases, gone way too far into the we give everybody a chance.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, they shouldn't have got a chance.
Right.
And sometimes, I think Jinder Mahal is a product of that where you're like, all right, you're just kind of doing that because you can now.
Sure.
Same thing with...
Kind of gave the spontaneity of, battle royals. Like, anybody can win these things, and yeah. You saw it, yeah.
Same thing with Heath Slater and Rhino winning the title, where you're like, all right, you're just proving that...
Especially as the inaugural, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so, and again, this... Both of those worked out to a certain degree.
Sure.
But, again, SmackDown has been struggling to... identify themselves, but Talking Smack was such a huge part of that. And I don't, as much as we whined and as much as we complained when it was taken off, I don't think I realized how much it was. We are 2 weeks removed. SmackDown is Blue Raw.
Yeah.
Like, a whole cloth right back there.
Yeah.
There is nothing on there. I'm like, that's unique. And part of that.
Dana Bryan probably feels a waste of an airplane. Airplane ride, because he was on that one backstage segment with Kevin Owens and Shane, and I believe that was the only time we saw him that entire episode.
Well, and that is not just a Talking Smack's there, everything's great, it's gone, everything's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But SmackDown was shot differently. There were interesting that weird sweeping shot that they would try out sometimes. Mm-hmm. The weird camera angles, all that's gone. I'm assuming due to budget cuts.
Sure, yeah.
But all that just cookie cutters your product.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go way back to where you're trying to be Netflix, Netflix has two new shows coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
They have Wet Hot American Summer, 10 years later, which is a second season, 10-year sequel to a tiny, goofy, off-the-wall, rated R comedy.
And I'm assuming
that 8 people in the world saw.
I'm assuming their weird prequel series from last year didn't... I'm assuming it probably didn't do great number-wise.
So that's coming out.
Yeah.
And season 3 of Voltron Legendary Defender, an American-made anime based on... a 1980s, cat robot cartoon.
Right.
The Venn diagram of those things is two opposite circles far away from each other.
Right, yeah.
And me holding on to both of them because I'm very excited about both of these shows.
Sure.
But the variety is important.
Yeah.
And you have things I'm assuming the delay of this UK show is due to budget cuts.
Yeah.
Which is a shame when your best match of the year and your only hope of getting match of the year at the end of the year from New Japan was a UK championship.
And neither guy has been on any sort of WWE programming since.
No. And that was that match happened. I was like, you have sold me on an entire show.
Yeah.
I'm ready to watch and get invested whole cloth into this show right now because of that one match.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen them since. Yeah.
And now watching, I'm like, I don't want to just watch WWE with UK wrestlers.
Right.
I want to watch a UK championship show. Right.
You don't want to run the risk of that becoming 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just feels watered down and just no emphasis, and it feels like, you know, main event
or yeah.
superstars or whatever they're doing now.
No, it does, and it sucks. It should feel weird and interesting and different. You have the exact same concept that Lucha Underground has initially. Lucha mm-hmm. Underground has gone off the rails in a fantastic way. I mean that in the
right
kindest and most complimentary of ways.
Right.
But initially it was the same guys, more flips.
Sure.
And so it's... But, and as much as you complained about it, 205 Live or Lucha Underground had like weird camera. Let's
sure,
try
right,
it
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looked different. It looked right. like that's a thing that Lucha Underground would do.
Sure. And again, like it did what it could to set itself apart from similar products. Whereas WWE is, you know, for budgetary reasons, is just reverting back to the same old thing and expecting to make money.
I think the biggest thing is you are trying to make a WWE network. It's a television network,
mm-hmm.
which means that it is catering different shows to different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
If you come up with a show that has less than 100% of your viewer base watching it, that is not a failure.
No. No, not at all. But by that same aspect, it's making you really scratch your head why they think a network can be successful just by treading water and not creating anything new and interesting to put on your network. And you're just, you know, just throwing out the vault on your live schedule. You know, like, I don't understand why they think that the network can be successful if you're just treading water. And just, we got new content every other week with pay-per-views, and every week if you, you know, watch NXT.
I mean,
granted, NXT is consistently their best
on one level
show, but
if you want NXT, you got NXT, it's worth it. Anybody who ever bought all the pay-per-views mm-hmm. on a yearly basis, this is a great, you've got them.
Right.
And
if you like their documentaries, you'll get it eventually.
Yeah. And there are things like, you know what? If people bought two pay-per-views a year, then it's...
It pays for itself, yeah.
It's worth it, and it's easier. If you were like, I'm a WrestleMania SummerSlam guy, I just mm-hmm. you know, and that's how it's been all my life, it's easier to just go ahead and buy the network, and then you have it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those people.
Yeah.
You got them.
Sure.
They're not going anywhere. I say all this...
So, yeah, you've got the people that are getting
like,
it for the pay-per-views
yes.
and for NXT. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all this is just, like... All this is empty commentary on some level, because none of this is about to be me saying, like, and that's why I'm done with wrestling.
Sure. And we're also not like, and that's how... You know, and our idea to fix it is this, you know. But the fact is that they're reverting back to their... You know, where they feel comfortable, where they feel safe. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to put a dent in this profit margin that they're looking for.
Well, and you look at something like Camp WWE. Nothing on their network looks expensive.
God, no.
And they talked about, like, Holy Foley got canceled because it was too expensive to do a second season. He's like, you know what? That's probably one of your more expensive shows.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to say, because it looked on par with Total Bellas. Like,
with most reality
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, for a reality show.
And reality shows are historically cheap.
But
for WWE's network.
They put in the money to make it look like a reality show. This wasn't Mick Foley in a flip cam.
Sure.
Trying to make a show. But, like, the most expensive thing was either that or maybe Camp WWE just for animation costs.
Yeah.
That was some cheap animation.
Yeah.
Being made by people who are well known for making cheap animation under budget work.
Yeah.
And like Camp WWE looks like a show where season one is their worst season.
Sure.
Like you watch it and you're like, oh, season three of this is going
to
be great. Like, I need to watch them
right,
spend 6 to 12 episodes to find their footing.
Right.
But they are going to be knocking this out of the park in season three. But I guess not. And I don't think the right answer is, like, you need stuff that's not wrestling. Because mm-hmm. clearly it's a wrestling network. It's a wrestling niche. That's what you should be looking for.
Yeah.
But you had a, I will say, fairly interesting swath of shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, whether I liked them or not, you had a good amount of people commentating on This Week in WWE with Talking Smack, with Bring It to the Table. You have retrospective things with the Legends thing, JBL, with Table for Three. It's a nice kind of mix between
well,
the two.
Well, they also canceled JBL's.
Well, I know. Yeah, that, yeah. But like they
but,
had
but
those.
What they already have, yeah.
They had Superstars being goofballs, which was Swerved and...
I swear to God, if there's
Road
another,
Trip.
I can't think of it. I know what you're talking about.
You had Animated Dare with Storytime and with Camp WWE. Ride Along, that's what there it's called. You had Holy Foley and Legends House being solid reality TV gimmick shows.
I assume so.
So, like, that's 5, 6. If you've been like, I have 6 vastly different concepts, all that will work on a WWE network, I'd be like, no, you don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
you have in-ring but like content that's old, and you have documentaries.
But as I was saying, if all these shows getting canceled, or have been canceled, and Swerve gets another freaking season, I swear to God, I'm going to be so pissed.
Maybe.
Garbage, and probably more expensive than Talking Smack.
Yeah.
So, just don't... Okay, I feel like we need this more than we usually do. Joel, what's making you happy this week?
Do you have a what's making you happy?
I mean, I've got an old friend of mine that I haven't seen in a while. He's coming to visit this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, get to show them around. They've never been to Greensboro before, so I get to show them around and be like, look how pretty this place is, and the food is great, you know? So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to think, like, movie-wise, I'm still, like, way behind. Like, I still need to see Dunkirk and Baby Driver. So... I'm sure I will love them.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't had a chance.
Just happy they're out.
I'm happy they're out. I'm happy for, you know, Edgar Wright, and I'm happy for Christopher Nolan. Because Christopher Nolan's really, you know, he's been on hard times, man. So, I need to find time. I might do that Sunday. Because there's my friend's supposed to leave early Sunday morning. I might get out there.
All right. I guess this is a good point to say I will not be on the podcast next week. I will be out of town.
Some of us are just now finding out for the first time.
That's 100% not true.
Okay, first time in like a few weeks it's been mentioned.
Also 100% not true.
When did you mention that?
It was mentioned after we finished recording last week.
Did we?
Yes,
no,
we did.
No, you didn't. No, you did not say
yes,
that.
Yes, we 100%
no, you
did.
Not, you did not say that. 100%
yes, we did.
You did not.
I believe I might still have the recording.
I believe which one of us is more awake at that point in the podcast?
Doesn't matter. Because, and I will tell you why, I was like, what I told you was, I almost canceled this week because I was about to fall asleep, but I knew I was going to be canceling, I was not going to be here in 2 weeks, and so I didn't want to have
okay,
so
well,
many...
Okay, well, you're talking to a hot and sweaty Chris, and at that point, I'm ready to get the hell up out of this room at that point, so you could have said anything, to be honest.
I didn't say anything, I said that.
I still don't believe you.
My point is, I'm going on vacation.
I need to have a conversation with Neil.
I am very excited about this. For those who don't know, I work in a school,
mm-hmm.
But somehow still have to work over the summers. So this is my summer vacation.
Right, because school's about to start.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yep.
So where are you guys going?
I'm going to the beach.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to enjoy the beach. I'm going to watch Raw and SmackDown and NXT.
Wow.
Very exciting. I know. I don't have to look.
You're going
to
watch it live?
Maybe. I don't know. I got time. I got no work.
You should watch it live and take over for Twitter for me.
We'll see. We'll see what's going on at the time.
Fair enough.
I don't know. No watches at the beach, man. you just enjoy the day.
You've got a phone. There's a clock on your phone.
The beach has no time.
I'm sorry, since you're going to be outdoors and, you know, around water, does that mean that your phone's going to be inside of a plastic bag?
It's a beach time. All right. Fair enough. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, and other days.
From the beach. And if you are, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you have some topics for me and hopefully Neil next week, send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast, get an episode every single week. You could write a review or maybe leave a rating of
5 stars, maybe.
That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things that we're working on.
Yes.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.